going to reconvene this meeting. And at this point, we are the 474 Fire Protection Board. And we are on item number 15. This is discussion of possible action, review and recommendations for possible action of the 2018-2019 474 Fire Protection District tentative budget. Approval of the final budget will be May the 21st, 2018, which is next Monday. So, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We planned on doing this because we wanted to get the remarks to the board and their recommendations at least for this, so we can make that final approval on next Monday. We don't anticipate, we've gone through most of it now. We have, and this is all the departments, but we have made various changes, and I will go through those various changes with you throughout those departments. As far as the 474 Fire District is concerned, there may be some additional revenue available. I'm not convinced that is going to happen, so consequently, I did not improve their budget for any revenue. However, we were able to decrease their expenses by about $110,000 due to some beneficial packages, which we finally got after the tentative was submitted. So for the 474 Fire District, for the operating fund, they are going to remain at a negative operating balance for this coming year, we think. However, we know that there's a long time between July 1st and June 1st of 2019, but that's what our projection is. For the Fire Emergency Fund.
Hugh, can we stop for
go ahead.
Minute, though? Hugh had asked me to chime in a little bit on where we are with Tesla, which is an open question. We're still at the beginning stages, to be honest with you, and I'm working with legal counsel, all three of them actually in this case, which is great. It would appear that relative to the staffing of the fire station, our government services agreement, which covers that, doesn't automatically require us to reduce. It requires us to negotiate. So should we not have a negotiated resolution to the trigger dates in both our government services agreement and also what we maintain is the applicable portions of the ordinance that was passed, potentially abating part of the plan review and permitting fees, which are irrelevant to this conversation. That's all a general fund community development. But I'll say the same thing when we get there. I intend to continue to bill at current rates, even though budgeting view has taken an ultra-conservative amount. So come July 1st, actually come June 1st for July, because we bill 30 days in advance, they're going to get a bill for the whole amount. So, and we'll take it from there if we haven't finalized negotiations, which I don't think we will.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate that comment, because it also happens with the general fund, which we'll discuss later, but thank you for that. The Fire Emergency Fund, we've had this staffed at about a little over 200,000. I mean, that's probably 4 hours if we ever had an emergency of some sort. We'd like to get that back up at some point in time, because we've been very fortunate, but who knows what happens. We would like to get this fund up in the future. We are not going to, we may fund it through augmentations or sometime next year, but we're just going to leave that alone for this year. Mutual aid will remain the same. Now they have an ending fund balance of $420,000. We may augment some of that into the 474 operating, but I'd like to leave some in there because the purpose of that fund was for at least the maintenance of all of the heavy equipment that they use for all of their projects outside of the 474 Fire District.
Have we been reimbursed for the mutual aid that had been expended over the course of the year? Had all those monies come in?
As far as I can Mr. Chairman, there, as far as I know, there are no accounts receivables that are on the books from any of those operating companies that we sent our staff to outside the 474.
Okay. Archie's shaking his head, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So that, Mr. Chairman, that is our, with except the Fire Capital Projects Fund, they have a five-year plan on this, so any of those capital projects that come available through the 474 Fire District will be expended through theirs, and they have about $1 million of ending fund balance that they have ready to apply. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that is the 474 Fire District.
Very good. Okay. So any public comment regarding the 474, Ms. Park?
Nicole Hart, Story County resident of the record. I didn't hear this back there probably because I need to hear, use those little hearing things, but Hugh, your ending, your revenue over expense, you're over by 1.2 or 1.3 million rounded. Where's that going to come from?
Pre-debt, I didn't.
Revenue versus expense?
Revenue to expense, yes.
Okay, so that you're over by 1.2 million.
I don't know where.
Your expenses are higher than your revenues by 1.2.
That's correct.
Okay. How are you going to make that up? Or is that okay? Or
I don't know. No, it's not okay. That. No. It's the anticipation of a government services agreement with Tesla.
So that 348, oops, where is it? Where's the Tesla line item? The Tesla line item of 348 isn't all we're going to get from Tesla.
That's probably going to be more.
Okay.
We don't know that.
So you plug the 348 in there for what reason? I mean, if the full amount for Tesla is going to offset the 1.2.
We don't know what the full amount of Tesla's reimbursement is going to be at this time.
Okay.
Now, even if they do come in negative, they have the ending fund balance to support that. Okay. But in my estimation, that will not happen because if, again, as Pat said, if those funds don't come in, then there has to be adjustments.
Okay. So the 348 you've got plugged in there for Tesla, we don't know if we're going to get it or not.
We don't. It could be more. Because it all depends on how many FTEs they would like.
Okay.
And if they want to go forward, yes.
Okay, so if there is no agreement, this overage of 1.29 million will go down because you're going to get rid of some headcount or get rid of some expenses to even it out?
There will be some adjustments there. We also don't know right now the complete thing on ad valorem. Because
okay.
I take a more conservative approach than the Department of Taxation does, for good reason. And so the combined effect of those, plus the fact that we've got additional funds in mutual aid that we can transfer to the 474 operator, gives me a comfort level that I'm pretty good with going into July 1st.
Okay.
If that does not happen, then there certainly is going to be adjustments made very quick.
Okay. And then lastly, on the capital projects, there's a $1 million transfer in. Where did that money transfer in from?
That came in several years ago when we did the ordinance,
mm-hmm.
and that came in from a transfer from the operating fund.
The county's general fund?
Not the county general fund, the 474 operating fund.
Okay, so their operating fund.
Right.
Okay, great. So their operating fund at the end of the day on this is $51,000, right?
The what?
The ending fund balance at the end of this proposed budget for this fire district, according to this, is $51,000. You've drawn it down to $51,000?
Yes. Okay. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you.
And we got to look at that.
All right. Additional public comment regarding the 474 budget.
Ha ha. Good afternoon, Chairman, board members, Madam DA. It's been rumored that the industrial park will be in need of one and perhaps two fire stations in the foreseeable future. Is there anything in here that speaks to that? Would that money come from the 474 money that we get ad valorem, or is that funds that would be raised at the park themselves, or where would that money come from? Or do we need those two fire stations?
I'll go ahead and answer that one. At least as we know it today, there's no provisions in next year's budget because we don't have anything built. We're going through a couple of different variables right now. We think the whole objective right now is to provide the best ISO rating out to the property owners in TRI that we reasonably can. That would necessitate building up to two new stations, but staffing one of those. It has to do with 5 road mile response. I'm looking for Jeff to at least nod his head on the right track. At this stage, to answer your question, Sam, there is no provisions in here because we haven't even arranged or negotiated as to which master developer or sub-developer might build one or both of those stations. So nothing's in the budget.
So we would expect some help from a master developer or sub-developer out at the park with some of the finances then?
Non-flippantly, I would say if they want anything better than an ISO 10,
right.
You know, yes, sir.
Excellent. Well, yeah, those things are expensive, and certainly if they're going to benefit from them, then they should contribute to those finances.
The beauty of the plan, though, is we actually, and this is going to sound crazy on paper because we have a very serviceable unit, but in looking at where our stations should be built, we think we can get by with actually 2 stations, one of which is already fully staffed and fully equipped. And I give all the credit in the world to Austin for that. He actually was out there for days driving different areas and response times and whatnot. So we think we may have to cost eventually under a developer agreement with, you know, either the master developer, sub-developers, some developer to build 2 stations. But the good news is we think we can get by with staffing one.
Good. I think I forgot to identify myself, Sam Toll from Gold Hill, for the record. Thank you.
All right. We'll take additional comments, public comments on this item. Yeah, just for action, I mean, we've already approved the tentative budget. So
yeah.
What action would we be taking?
Well, didn't he make the changes to the tentative budget?
You didn't make any changes, did we?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, we decreased it, so I would approve it as submitted.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. With that said, yeah, go ahead and make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the changes to the 2018-2019 474 Fire District tentative budget.
I'll second your motion.
Move and second to approve.
Yes, budgets, plural.
Yeah.
There are multiple budgets here.
474 budgets.
Budgets.
Move and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the 474 Fire Protection District Board, and we're going to convene as the Story County Water Sewer Board. And next on our lineup here is item 17 for discussion and possible action. Review and recommendations for possible action for the 2018-2019 Water Sewer Tentative Budget. Final approval of the budget will be May the 21st, 2018. Once again, that'll be next Monday. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regard to the water system, there are no changes from the tentative that we anticipate to the final. And in that regard, also for the Virginia City, the Virginia Divide Sewer, we anticipate no changes. We are going to watch, however, we're going to watch the sewer facility very closely. I've talked to Jason about this, but that's something we'll take a look at July 1st, but there are no changes as of this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Let's ask if there's any public comment regarding this budget item. Hearing none, go ahead and get a motion to approve.
We don't need a motion because there's no changes.
No changes.
Right.
There's no motion needed.
Okay. Very good. Then we're going to adjourn as the Story County Water Sewer Board to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. And at this time, Mr. Whitten.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, we have a very patient couple that has been probably learning more about county government than they bargained for today. I would ask if we can hear item number 22 and then also hear item 21 immediately after that before we go on to more budget.
Okay, very good. Any objections from the board?
No.
All right, then. Next up, we'll go ahead and hear item number 22. This is discussion and possible action. Variance 2018-015, request to allow for the rear yard setback for the construction of a two-car detached garage from the required 40 feet to 16 feet. The applicant also requests a variance to the rear and side yard setbacks for an existing shipping container and an existing accessory horse shelter from the required rear yard 40 foot to 16 feet and required side yard from 15 feet to 1 foot. The property is located at 2310 Lousetown Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN 003-045-42. Ms. Canfield.
Yes, thank you. Again, this is a variance to the rear yard and side yard setbacks. This property is located just up the street from the fire station out in the Highlands. The applicants are wanting to construct a detached two-car garage on their property, and it'd be located at the rear of the property. Page 4, the top picture in your packet, probably shows the property the best. During the course of the review of the project, we also discovered that there was a shipping container and an accessory horse shelter that were built in the side yard setbacks. So we've included those as part of the variance. We did discuss this at the Planning Commission this last Thursday, and as part of that discussion with legal counsel, staff, the applicant, the Planning Commission, it was determined that the shipping container actually is consistent with our code, and there's not a variance that's required for that. So I've handed out to alternative motions and project descriptions attached that delete the shipping container request from this variance request. So I said the Planning Commission had a lengthy discussion about this. We had some neighbors that were there in support of the project. The property to the north and to the west, neighbors have issued that they're supporting the project. We have a neighbor to the south of the property that's a vacant piece of property, but the owners of that property have had a concern about what the setbacks, building in the setbacks. When they contacted us originally, all they really get at the beginning is just a little postcard, and they responded to the postcard. When we got that, then we sent them a copy of the staff report, emailed that to them for them to look over. Once they looked at that, they didn't really have any problems. What their response was to a neighbor, and I believe to Mr. McGuffey, was they didn't have any problems with the garage, but they still had some concerns about the side yard setback. We've been talking to the applicant about that setback. It's an accessory horse structure, so what it is a roof with some posts, which are pipes, and it does get, the applicant guesses maybe 2 feet from the property line, the roof hangover. They said they can move that a little bit, but by moving the horse shelter itself, it actually moves it all closer to the applicant that doesn't like the setback issues. So staff is recommending approval as we've written it, and I know the applicants are here to talk about the design. The property itself is pretty limited. It's a long, narrow piece. The house is at the top. It slopes up. They put the garage up into the setback. It makes sense because it's kind of on a shelf with where the house is. To build the garage in another part of the property brings it down closer to the road and not real feasible to walk from in the house. This would be the only garage that they would have for the property. They also have a septic system, a well, and a leach field that kind of prohibit where you can put some of these structures on the property.
The horse shelter itself isn't a permanent structure, right?
It is not. Right. No, it's a movable piece that they put up and then take down if they needed to.
And, okay, so I'd read originally there was one neighbor who wrote in opposition to this, and have they changed their mind on this?
I don't believe they've changed their mind on side yard setbacks.
So this neighbor, they're primarily opposed to the one-foot space there between the property line and their, it was the container, but now I guess it's focused more on the horse corral. Would you think they would be an acceptance of a 3-foot setback? So, it's like we all move out there to have our space, and it's like if somebody's kind of encroaching, you want to speak up, and that's all they're doing here. So, now I've looked at the maps and. You know, whether it's 1 foot or 3 foot, it's really not going to change anything. I see there's trees there that block it from them. I see that. So I guess it's just a matter of making somebody a little bit happier that we addressed the issue. And we're trying to compromise, you know.
If everybody's kind of looking at this picture, the property owners that have submitted evidence that are actually the one property owner attended the planning commission meeting that are supportive and don't have any problems to it are on the north here and on the west.
Well, we're not talking about them.
Right. So the people that are over on this side are the ones that have the concern about the setback. But the setback is actually encroaching onto the property, the setback that's on this side. So
on the opposite side
of where all the development would be. The owners have said that the way that this structure, it is a movable piece. They could move the actual support pieces in further without having to move and take the roof piece off. So that is a potential that they could do and move that in somewhat. The roof itself wouldn't change. If they need to, they can move this. But again, it moves it to an area that is more visible from the street. It moves it closer to the center of their property and their driveway. And it also, to move the whole corral structure, the area that's open right here is where their leach field is, and they don't really want the horses and such on mixing into that because I guess the depth of that isn't really too far. And then that actually moves it closer to the property owners that aren't in support of the project.
The neighbor that has a concern, have they built on their property?
No, it's vacant.
Oh, it's vacant.
It's vacant.
Okay. Well, you said that the view of this is obstructed by the tree line?
The view of the horse shelter and the proposed garage and even the existing shipping container are very well shielded from the roadway because of the vegetation.
All right. If you'd like to speak, I'm going to have you come up to the podium. That way we'll get you to identify yourself for the record. That way we can get you down.
Thank you, commissioners, and good afternoon. For the record, our name is Jared McCall and Jackie Davila. We're the residents and with this issue. So in placing this horse cover on our property, we took into account a couple of different factors. The topography, the location of the well, the location of the actual home, and being able to drive around our home when we're hauling our travel trailer, and the driveway, the leach field, and our neighbors. We took in consideration whether or not this whole structure will be shielded from view, and also even wind direction. So the last two factors were power and water. We currently water our horses. We run a 100-foot hose from our home to the shelter. And in the winter, to keep the water from freezing in the water, we run an extension cord, 100-foot extension cord over there. Like she mentioned, this structure is a portable structure. It's constructed out of pipe corrals with brackets up top for a cover. So we are able to move it somewhat. If we were given, if we weren't allowed the 1 foot setback that we're requesting now, we can't bring the wall in, maybe 2 to 3 feet without compromising the roof.
And that wall is actually 2 feet in.
We're actually already 2 feet off
the,
off the property line.
I don't know what it is, but it's about
2 feet long,
so.
They used the 1 foot just as a general reference, but we are actually about 2 feet off the property line already. And like I said, we do have the ability to bring it in. Just it just takes loosening a couple of screws, a couple of bolts, and we can slide the wall in a little further.
We did speak to the Desimons too before we put the horse in there.
Yeah. We got the approval actually of all of our neighbors. I know the neighbor to our west is very appreciative of us moving our horses from where they were located before because it was adjacent to their, her property. Now it's on the on the north line of the property. The Desimons, we spoke to them before relocating the horses to where they are now. We spoke with them, and they were in total approval of locating the horses there. The property in question, the owners of, that are in question here are the ones that are located to the south of the property. The horse shelter is totally blocked from view during because of vegetation and because of the layout. And there isn't a home on that property. It's totally vacant. Basically, we were very limited to as to where we can locate the horses. So we would be greatly appreciative of any we can see to this request. And thank you again.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? The commissioners have any more questions for this?
Well, it's like my observation and going to the Planning Commission meeting and hearing and looking at all the details and facts, personally, I wouldn't have an issue with what you're trying to do. Leave everything as is. I would be fine. But I really hate to go against another neighbor who's in opposition. So I would rather they work it out before I, because I don't want, you know, you're basically putting me in the middle of it kind of thing. If the neighbor would be okay with 3 feet, then that's probably not going to impact you too much.
No.
Right.
So,
right.
But I don't know what the neighbor's going to, if they're going to go for 3 feet.
When they responded to this, to the county, they didn't give a reasoning. So, yeah, we would try and find out what the reasoning is.
They just said they didn't like the 1 foot. They didn't specify, you know, if they were willing to compromise with 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
But just the location.
Have you invited them out to talk or show or?
We didn't know how to make contact with them. Like I said, it's a vacant lot. There's, so we don't have. We didn't.
Sharon Snell spoke to them. We didn't ask her to. Because she's been very supportive. But after she talked to them, then they said that they just didn't like the 1 foot. But other than that, we don't know how to get a hold of them.
Yeah, the maps show that you know everything's hidden by the trees. So they wouldn't even notice, I don't think, if they were.
We're not so sure if they think the horse structure is adjacent to their property or not.
I'm not sure.
That's why I say it wouldn't bother me a bit. Yeah. You know, but yeah. It's not my property.
Right.
So what would
so
be
we suggested in contact with the property owners.
I would continue this, and I would try to see if you could work it out with that neighbor.
Well, my concern is Kathy presented that it's to move it to make a 3 foot setback is going to go ahead and make it more visible than it is now. Which this sounds pretty super.
I think the setback is going moving everything southward, right?
Which is where the
so basically the same trees still block it.
There's nothing on the south that's vacant property. Our horses are on the north with neighbors that have already approved basically where we have them. So I don't know.
We could meet the 3 foot setback very easily by sliding that pipe panel over. That would be a very simple fix. But
it still doesn't really impact the southern property. Even so, as far as
let me ask Kathy another question. Kathy, during the Planning Commission, was there conversation about 3 feet as opposed to 1 foot, it's a recommendation? It's a recommendation of the Planning Commission that's presented, right?
Yes.
And
the 1 foot actually was a conservative estimate of how far they were.
Okay.
So to go 3 feet, I don't think that would be, if that's easy enough for them to do without having to have a major overhaul of where they're at, they may not. That may be easy enough to condition.
And we spoke about having this only contingent as long as we're there.
Okay, if you're going to speak, you're going to have to stand up and get close to the mic. We have a microphone on top
I'm
of the podium there. Otherwise, the staff can't go ahead
and get them. No, we did speak of this being contingent on just while we're at that particular property, us personally.
Right. Okay.
That when we leave, the barriers to the side, the structures would be gone. So,
Kathy, the planning commissioners, they didn't have a concern is the same as Commissioner McGuffey has on this?
No. That was not brought up by them. I would say to talk to the adjacent neighbors that this variance is for this accessory horse structure only. It's not for something on their property line to go to a 1 foot setback along the property line that they share. I think we could make that very clear in the approval if that's the concern. I believe from reading what they've said, their concerns are just the setbacks themselves and not necessarily their statement has been very broad as far as setbacks go, not directed at anything that's already existing out there.
Okay. I think Mr. Osborne wants to weigh in on this.
Thank you, Austin Osborne, for the record. I just want to make a note regarding the letter that was submitted by the neighbors. It is a vacant parcel. I don't remember where they're from, but out of the area. It seemed to be that their letter was concerned generally with, are we allowing a higher density of uses in the area that we have our property than really should be allowed? And that's when they discussed they have a little bit of an issue with that 1 foot setback, and it did expressly say the 1 foot setback. They didn't say, what's it like. I think it's important, just as a finding, whether an approval or denial or whatever happens, that this isn't being proposed just because it's not just, we want to allow higher density in the Highlands. The property has steep topography on half of the property. There's a well right in the center where a driveway is. Literally, they have a cap on it, so they drive on top of that. There's a leach field and septic system, and there's some other circumstances of the property that are creating what the code says is an unusual situation or a hardship. And that would be the reason for considering a variance of this nature, that alone, not just because, the applicant wishes to have it on the zoning they're in. And that's all I just want to say regarding that letter in the code.
I see it as a reasonable accommodation myself. And then when we're talking about just a horse shelter, we can allow multiple small square foot buildings on a property with no permit whatsoever. So. They could put multiple small buildings out there that aren't attached. These little Home Depot buildings they sell, right? And you could.
They still need to meet setbacks for this property.
But you could increase the land use density by putting these things on your property. So.
And the standard setback was 15 feet? Pardon?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
okay.
For the side setback, yes.
So we're talking a big difference there. So, like I said, personally, I don't have an issue. If I was your neighbor, I wouldn't have an issue with that. But basically, I'm being pitted against neighbors here. So I would just assume the neighbors need to work it out. I don't have a problem with the variance, but I think both parties should be on the same page.
I could probably add too that they have gone to the Homeowners Association, and this was reviewed by the Homeowners Association. It was, they had no comments on the horse shelter or the shipping container, and they didn't have any problems with the garage as long as the county approved the rear yard setback for the garage. So I don't know if that helps.
I don't think the Homeowners Association has the authority that in that realm. I think the Homeowners Association, all they have is a say in what color door you have and the color of roof. You know, they don't have any say of where you put it or anything like that. You have to go to the building
architectural department. Design, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all they do, yeah.
Mr. Gilman, do you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I'm inclined to approve the variance. I think it's been thoroughly vetted by the Planning Commission. And I generally believe that it's not an adverse impact on anybody in the area generally. So it would be my call to approve this variance.
It would be mine too. Ms. Canfield, would there be any advantage whatsoever of taking Commissioner McGuffey's suggestion and continuing this? I mean,
I don't believe so. I think from the correspondence that I've read, and I haven't talked directly to the person, we just corresponded, through the email, that it appears that they're just opposed to a variance altogether. I don't think they've never mentioned this specific item or that they have a problem with the horse shelter where it's located, that they don't like this horse shelter, they don't like any of this. I think they're looking at a general big picture thing, not this individual spot.
Well, I think
as I understand, they don't live in the area. The lot has not been built on. And so we're dealing with someone from afar?
Correct.
I think they're not afar. I think they're probably in Reno.
The building address of the property that was stated.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I'll open it up one more time if there's any public comment on this. I'm leaning in the same direction as Commissioner Gilman, so I'm going to ask Kathy if you go ahead and read the findings of fact and the affirmative on this, and Commissioner McGuffey has to vote his conscience on this. He can do so.
There was a revised addendum that I also put out here if anybody from the public would like. Would you like me to read the motions for approval?
Yes.
Okay. The applicant requests a variance 2018-015 to the rear yard setback for the construction of a two-car detached garage from the required 40 feet to 16 feet. The applicant also requests a variance to the side yard setback for an existing accessory horse shelter from the required 15 feet to 1 foot. The property is located at 2310 Lousetown Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 003-04542. The subject property is located within E1 VCH Estate zoning with an existing residence as a primary use and a proposed garage, shipping container, and horse shelter as an allowed accessory use. That because of special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. That the granting of the variance is necessary for preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant. That the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with the Story County Code 17.03.140 variances, 17.40E estate zone, and 17.12 general provisions when all conditions of approval are met. The proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals and objectives and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, so at this time, if I can get a motion to approve this, Commissioner Gilman?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.8 of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve variance 2018-015 to allow the rear yard setback for the construction of a two-car detached garage from the required 40 feet to 16 feet. The rear and side yard setbacks for an existing shipping container and existing accessory horse shelter from the...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she gave us an amended one. Doesn't have shipping container in it.
I don't have the amended one. Did I go up?
I don't either.
Can we start over?
I think you were okay until you got the shipping container.
Yeah, you were okay until you got the shipping container.
Let me see.
40 feet.
I see you. To allow for the construction of a two-car detached garage from the required 40 feet to 16 feet and the side yard setback for an existing accessory horse shelter from 15 feet to 1 foot. The property is located at 2310 Lousetown Road, Virginia City, Highland, Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APM 003-04542.
Okay. I have a motion and I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 I'll abstain.
Well, you can't abstain. You just say no.
Why do you, I'm not a vote.
Well, why would you be abstaining?
Because that's my decision not to vote.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You're good to go.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you.
We appreciate your time. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you to the commissioners and the community. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank
you. All right. Yeah. Good luck with your project.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Have a good day.
You too.
All righty. We're going to move on now to item number 21. And this is discussion of possible action. Proposed amendments to the Story County sign ordinance, Story County Code Title 17 zoning, including Chapter 1784. I'm not going to read it in depth because I think you're going to ask for a continuation.
We are asking for a continuance. We had a lengthy discussion at the Planning Commission this last Thursday. We have some additional items that were brought up that we want to look into a little further. So we have continued this at the Planning Commission to June 21st. So we request that this item be continued to a board meeting that's after that June 21st date.
Okay, thanks, Gabby. So it would be appropriate to ask for any public comment before July 1st, right? Yeah. Would it be appropriate to ask for public comment if we're just going to continue this item?
No.
Okay.
But we need to want a specific date that we're continuing it to.
Did you have a date in mind?
July 3rd.
Like July 3rd.
Okay.
And then we would be here at the courthouse.
Okay. I get a motion to continue this item to July the 3rd.
Yes. I'll make a motion to continue item 21 to July 3rd, 2018, in this courtroom at 10 a.m.
Yeah. Motion.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to continue this item to July the 3rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Now we're going to backtrack and go back to item number 19, discussion of possible action. Review and recommendations for possible action of the 2018-2019 Story County Funds Tentative Budget excluding the Sheriff's Department budget. Final approval of the final budget will be May the 21st, 2018. Once again, next Monday. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Kathy.
General revenue has not changed from the tentative budget. However, there is anticipation of about $1.2 million through negotiations that Mr. Whitten has previously described, and also some possible increases in permit fees due to the fact that we passed a new ordinance on property values, on how you value those permits. There's also some indication there could be some personal property and ad valorem gains. However, when I looked at the experts in the Department of Taxation, I said I can't book that because there's not a record of it. There's not a trail of it. So consequently, there are things there that can certainly increase that budget because it's only about 2% of what we budgeted for last year. That being said, I'm not going to propose any increases in our budgeted revenue until some additional facts could be made. Clerk Treasurer, we have decreased their budget, and it has to do with benefits. We had no idea what our benefit package was going to be, so we have dropped their benefits from $139,247 to $133,411. District Court has no changes. Genetic marker testing has no changes, and drug court has no changes. Our recorder has changes of roughly $4,300, which is a reduction in benefits from $109,020 to $104,727. Our assessor has changes that it has to do with benefits again from $145,876 to $140,041. Our technology fund that we had produced in the tentative has no changes. Buildings and grounds, their budget reflects an adjustment in benefits again from $65,004 to $63,182. Pools and parks reflects a change in benefits again from $17,363 to $12,249. Our service department reflects a change in benefits from $106,978 to $103,433, which now brings us to roads. Our roads department, we increased their revenue about $80,000 due to some figures that were related to the gas tax, and primarily out in the industrial park. They think that, and this is taxation, and the person that we use, Mr. Gransbury, said it just looks like this is going to, it's almost double this year, and it's a pretty conservative estimate as to where we're going to go next year. So in addition to that, we gave Jason an additional $80,000, I think, in revenue, and also gave him an additional $100,000 in road improvement for that particular year for ending June 30, 2019. USDA, we have not changed that budget at all. Community development, we have changed their benefit package from $266,913 to $257,673. 717. Our district attorney, we have changed their benefit package from $170,308 to $165,174. Justice of the Peace, we have changed their benefit package from $141,734 to $135,607. The next is their Justice Court Fund, which we have not changed. It is a no change to the final. We come back to communications. Communications, their benefit package decreased from $309,659 to $299,292. The IT department, their benefits package decreased from $159,538 to $153,131. The comptroller's department decreased their benefit package by from $141,592 to $136,308. Emergency management decreased their benefit package from $7,518 to $7,097. Next comes emergency mitigation. We have not changed anything in that. In that we have, however, we are going to bring that up back up to a standard because we depleted that in January of this year during the flood. Then comes community relations. We have decreased their benefit package from $65,657 to $63,976. Next comes the park fund. There is no change in the park fund. Equipment acquisition. There is no change in that proposed budget. Commissioners, their benefit package went from $221,812 to $212,587. Admin department went from $309,276 to $306,272. Health and Human Services went from $3,124 to $3,039. The Planning Department, their benefit package went from $105,381 to $102,210. Indigent Medical had no change. Indigent Accident had no change. Capital Projects has no change. Infrastructure has no change. Stabilization, although we want to take that $600,000 ending fund balance to hopefully $1 million at some point in time, that will not change. The TRI payback special revenue fund has no change. The V&T rail project has no change, although there is a possible call date in 2019, which we may look at early retirement of that, but that will be not for this budget. Federal grants remains the same at $75,000, and we really don't have a name. It's federal, state, and federal grants have decreased in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's this is a good conservative estimate. The Virginia City Tourism Commission. Their benefit package decreased from $131,396 to $127,348. Piper's Opera House benefit package went from $59,510 to $58,368, and that, Mr. Chairman, is the general fund up through the Sheriff's Department, or up to the Sheriff's Department.
And all other funds.
And all the other funds, all the special revenue. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. All right.
We'll take public comment. Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bard, Story County. Resident, for the record. Hugh, I have a question. How did the park fund go from a fund balance of $120,000 down to $1,800?
Because we put more into the funding for, as far as the expenditures, if there's any anticipated expenditures. That's just anticipated. If it doesn't make it, the end of the fund balance remains the same. That's what we did.
Okay, because I'm looking at the final for this year, 17 and 18, which has an expenditure of $29,000 for every park, which draws down the ending fund balance from $120,000 to $8,000 and some change, and then the tentative takes it to $1,800.
Right.
So what did each of those park funds get for $29,000?
Well, the crazy thing about this is that when we have to do a what we currently have is an ending fund balance, and the department taxation, it all has to do with the prior figures. We've never spent the $29,000 that we budgeted for this year, so that will automatically go up. The equation of the ending fund balance has in the 2017-2018 final had that we were for each of those funds we were going $29,000 for everyone.
So you're saying until the books close and or it's audited, that money doesn't flush back into.
No, it's already there. It's just not budgeted for. So we budgeted a little less this year, but that takes into consideration the $29,000 that we haven't spent for any of those locations so far this year, which will then increase the ending fund balance back up to where it was.
So it's not evaporating?
No, it's not evaporating, no.
Okay. Because you know we've had trouble
I know that.
Finding out and agreeing on what the numbers are for the park fund.
I know that. I understand that's one of your
favorite. I'll be looking
for
that.
I know you are.
Additional public comment?
For the record, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. Congratulations, Mr. Gallagher, at nearing the finish line of a lot of hard work. Very much appreciate your efforts here. A couple of questions. First off, just to help fill in my ignorance, the county commissioner's line item is at $370,000 and change. I'm guessing that perhaps the county manager's salary expense is part of that. Is that... Because the county commissioners make
there are allocations to that, yes.
Okay.
It's not only the commissioners' minimal salaries, but it's also some of the admin group and also some of the county manager, yes.
Okay, yeah, I know it's a lot of hard work to be a county commissioner. I know you guys are not compensated adequately, and I just wanted to clarify that. In past conversations with the board here, Mr. Witten was kind enough to explain to me that the role of inspections has moved from the fire department to the county to the community development. In looking at the budget, I see that of the 474 fire district, I see that the inspection fees have gone from a revenue of $679,000 to zero for the tentative budget, and I'm guessing that's why they've moved there. In looking at the licenses and permits line item, historically, the 2017-2018 budget was at $1.405 million, and it's decreased now by $300,000 to $1.145 million. Yet the community development budget has gone up by 48.7%. And so I'm guessing that the offset in the amount of money that we're getting for the fees based upon inspections, primarily out at the industrial park, are falling, They've moved from the fire department to the general fund, and yet looking at the payroll figures, they're adding people over there. Can you account for that? Explain.
Yes.
Speak to that. Thank you.
When that was moved, we moved the expense required for plan review and permitting fees, business licenses. Are now all under one department, so now each of these individuals can only do a building permit. They also can do a fire permit. What's happened is where that remains the same is I do not know the negotiations with Tesla. That will be a Tesla amount. So that will be one of the line items that will generate for whatever contract comes up in the past. Okay.
So presumably, when Mr. Witten, applies the elbow grease and does the arm twisting out there, then the number that we have in licenses and permits will rebound based upon
that. I couldn't comfortably increase that, although it probably will, but I couldn't comfortably do that until number one, we get a resolution on the increase in the business license, the way they calculate that or calculate permit fees, and also the additional contract with Tesla.
Right, gotcha. In looking at the increases overall, generally, if you look at the line items, they're basically, the majority of them are salaries and wages and benefits. As you had mentioned, they've gone down slightly from the tentative, but in fact are up year to year. And, that speaks to a concern, as a business owner for 25 years in a non-union environment, I could hire at fire at will. And having the sort of the noose of the unions around our necks, constantly improving the condition of their union members, which is of course what they're supposed to do, it works against us, the taxpayers, and against you all in having to be able to have less money to try and run the county with. And so when I see the advertisements for new hires, I think our head count is, according to Transparent Nevada, up 20 or 30 people. That's just a cause for concern, and I would, I always say hire slow and fire fast, but it looks like that's the majority of the increase in the salaries or the budget overall.
You're absolutely right. We look at this very carefully, and because the 474 Fire District is its own separate local government, we have to take a look at it very seriously. We do not know at this point in time what the effects of the new contract is going to be, because it starts July 1st. And the big problem with that plan is the overtime. We don't know how much of that's going to be. Same thing with the sheriff's people on the other side. So there's things that we really don't know right now. We're going to look at them. We're going to keep our eye on them. And, the minute he even sees it, it goes out of line. We've got to make, there's got to be some decisions made, and that's where we are.
Very good. And then finally, based upon the fact that our revenues now not projected, but in fact in the final budget are below 2015-2016 figures, based upon the fact that our expenses are roughly 30% over the same period, fiscal year 2015-2016, would you feel safe in saying that there's really actually no money available to potentially write a check to the county residents to provide some sort of relief in property taxes or any other method of redistributing the wealth as has been suggested at previous commissioner meetings?
And I think we've gone through this before. As we know, probably about 81% would go back into the industrial park. I mean, the residential impact for a reduction in this type of thing is minimal. Although everybody would like to have one, it probably would be minimal. I would, and we've talked about this, I mean, I would like to look at 2024 and see what happens with that, because that tells us the abatements will be off for most of it. We will see, and if that's what happens, I mean, I would like that to be the opportune time. I'm not fearful, but I'm cautious that, you know, we get something like 2007, 2008, where the banking industry and Walmart on Wall Street and everybody went sideways. And I'll mention another one here later on. But we're still very unsure as to what's going on in this market. We hopefully will be able to expand, and as our expenses expand, so does stuff for the performance that all of our departments have to do. I mean, where they were in 2007 compared to here, I mean, the number of recordings that Jim Chapman has, the number of things that that Vanessa has, and all of the evaluations that are constantly going before the assessor's office. My personal feeling, and I would like one as well as anybody, I'm just not convinced that, you know, I would rather have something there to fall back on in case something like that happened again.
And I appreciate that. That reflects your fiscal conservancy. Last question, finally. The line item for the TRI payback is listed at $600,000. Vanessa Stevens was kind enough to provide me with a detailed account of the property taxes from the business park from TRI from 2001 to present. And from what I couldn't conclude, extrapolating this year, we're going to get about $5 million and change potentially from the park. Right now, I think through three quarters, it's about $4 million. And again, this may be my ignorance, probably is. 35% of that figure has to be paid back to the vouchers that have been written, or is there other calculus that goes into it?
There's a stipulation agreement, and I think it's, if I'm not incorrect, it started in 2012 or 13 with a base year. And a base amount, and every year after that it goes up 5%. And so whatever those revenues that were received from the industrial park, minus that, then at that point in time there's the 35% tax that goes against that. That's what we pay.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Okay.
Well, we'll continue on with more public comment. Okay, then we'll go ahead and get a motion to approve.
Any changes?
Yeah, these budgets as presented by the comptroller, excluding the sheriff, 474, and water sewer.
Well, 474 is separate.
So we already did the 474.
Excluding, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
But the motion doesn't say to exclude that. It does say the sheriff.
We've already approved the 474, right. So you'd be excluding it, and the water and sewer, because we already approved that too. So you'd be excluding those three.
Well, it's...
there's a bunch of funds.
Right, so it's... but it's the street. It's the street county.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the changes of the 2018-2019 Story County Funds tentative budget, excluding the sheriff's department budget, the fire department 474, and the water budget.
Water sewer.
Second motion.
Very good. We move to second to approve as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We're going to move on now to item number 20. This is going to be discussion of possible action review and recommendations for possible action on the 2018-2019 Story County Sheriff's Department tentative budget. Final approval of the budget would be May the 21st, 2018.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm going to recuse myself from discussion and voting on this item, as there is an existing litigation between Sheriff Ensenor and myself, and so I will leave the podium and
and I join the conversation.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Okay, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the Sheriff's Department's budget, there were two adjustments made. One in the benefits package from $1,318,206 to $1,215,401. And also we took, we adjusted $170,000 out of his capital outlay budget for vehicles, and we pretty much made that a transfer for equipment acquisition. So his capital outlay budget went from $173,000 to $3,000.
Very good. Pretty easy one there. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take public comment on the sheriff's tentative budget.
For the record, Sam Toll Goldhill. So, Mr. Gallagher, by moving that money out of his access, does that mean that there will be no new cars, no new patrol vehicles for sheriff's deputies to enjoy this year?
They're just Yugos, not Chevy.
Some Chevy Metros or something like that.
The vehicle stuff is we have a fund that does this equipment acquisition, which is a property tax thing. You know, this is kind of an accounting move. It moves just from one special revenue fund to another. We've done this in the past. We've done it with a couple other of his vehicle purchases. But this item was considerable for his budget, considerable for the general fund budget. And so by moving this to equipment acquisition gave us a little breathing room.
Very good. Let's hope it doesn't impact public safety. Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue on with public comment on the sheriff's tentative budget. Hearing none?
You got a minute for this?
What's that?
If you've got a minute, I'll give you a summary.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as we sit right now, we're at a negative $1,703,533. Now, this includes contingency of $439,000, which we have to book. It includes the administrative or the general fund payback for the industrial park to the industrial park at $600,000, and emergency mitigation transfer of $105,000. Now, our salaries, the total salaries at this point in time make up about 41.49% of this, of the total. Employee benefits about 22.88%, and operations of about 18.13%. I will caution everybody that should we not prevail in the recognition of additional income, expenses will be certainly declining. There will be several alternatives that will reduce expenditures should revenue forecasts not meet operations or projections. And I feel comfortable that these measured steps will be needed and presented to the board in a very appropriate manner. I've done this before. It's not a very pleasant job. And I'll just tell you a little story. In 1978, there were no less than five casinos that began operation in Reno, Nevada. I was the controller for one of them, but I had no idea that in a couple of years all hell would break loose. Because in 1980, we did not have a increase in gas prices. We had a gas shortage. Nobody could get gas. They were rationing things all over the West Coast and the state of Nevada. And if that wasn't bad enough, the very next year there was an airline strike. Governor Reagan fired about 100,000 people of those people because of all of this. But what had happened is of those five casinos that were opening at that, only one survived it. And it was the one that I worked at because we took the appropriate measures to do some things that needed to be done. So We also, on a very current basis, the 2007-2010, the Wall Street debacle and the banking debacle and all of those things, we made some very hard decisions with that. So by no means are we going to sit by and look at this. Come July 1st, we're going to take a look at every single week and see what happens. I would recommend to the board that we probably start looking hard at the appropriations or capital outlay expenditures. I would like to look at them starting September 1st. That gives us a good quarter. We should take a look and see what appropriations are going to be for ad valorem business licenses and stuff. And I think that would be the appropriate time we kind of do our thing and start having those people get the vehicles and the stuff and the value that they need in their budgets, because at that point in time, I'm predicting that we'll be very healthy, and then we can move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Okay. With that, I'm going to go back to Commissioner McGuffey now and get a motion to approve the sheriff's tentative budget with the adjustments.
Yes. I'll make a motion to approve the changes to the 2018-2019 Story County Sheriff's Department tentative budget.
Second your motion. Then move the second to approve this budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. In my conversations with both the comptroller and the county manager, there is some concern here, but I think we're going to be able to get it mostly ironed out in time. And if we do have a shortfall, then who knows how to sharpen the pencil and cut where we need to cut. So I'm confident that we'll be okay.
Ready to go.
Shot across the bow. All right, we're going to move on now to item number 23, discussion of possible action, approval of the business license second readings. Can you take this, Mr. Whitman?
You bet, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are requesting that the commission approve all items listed on your agenda, items A through M.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding the business license second readings? Hearing none, if we get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve items A through M.
Motion. Do I have a second? Move the second to approve all items A through M. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 24, public comment. Hearing none, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.